Previously on That Cthulhu John.
Do I have my captain's home number?
Yeah, this is Frank.
I say, Frank, they have my wife and kids. Take down this number.
Yeah, sure.
I plan on going to the library and looking up, like, missing people.
All right, so you find a couple articles that deal with the missing Dover couple.
What's going on, Willis?
Luke, we're going to both head down and try to wheel the crate out. First, we're going to get it in the van, and then we're going to take it to my garage, where I have a little private lab set up.
Did you take a look?
Here goes nothing. You see that pry bar? Pries it open and pops it off the rest of the way. Takes a look in. It was pretty shocking at first, but... And he looks over and goes, ah! Ah! Hello, thanks for joining us for That Cthulhu John, episode 67. We are a real play Call of Cthulhu podcast. I am George, your keeper of arcane lore. And with me are my friends and investigators, Chad.
Hot-blooded, y'all.
Chuck.
I feel the earth move under my feet.
And Jenny.
Hi.
So... There's a fucking earthquake in Philadelphia today. I mean, it was in Jersey, but we felt it in Philadelphia.
Yes, crazy.
Anyway.
You want to go outside. That's what you want to do. It, you just want to go into the basement of wherever you are, the lowest point.
No.
Yeah, just like Jenny did.
You want to make sure you get your animals and go into the basement.
You want to make sure you're buried under piles of rubble so that the only way you can get out is with a ladder.
You want to go to the weakest point in your
whole
house.
Get under the most poorly supported part of the house with the heaviest furniture above it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stand next to the chimney.
So, the last episode focused a lot on Thompson. I think I'm going to start this one off with Walter. All right, so, Walter, it's about 9:30 right now. After having a little bit of breakfast and reading the morning newspaper, of course, as you usually do, you turn your attention back to the Orendum Anguis Populo.
It's been a bit of a thorn in my side since I've come across it. Can't seem to crack the Latin code.
Still can't get past the title.
Let's get... It sounds cooler in Latin. So, Walter, let's get a Latin roll out of you.
Alright, I need this one to pass, Dice. You know, you've been letting me down a lot. All I've been doing is focusing on knowledge that should be forbidden. And you're kicking me in the shins every time I take a step. Ooh, that's a good one. That is a 9. Thank goodness.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay. So, Walter, you start reading through this, and you're learning more about the details of some of their rituals, including the blessings that they give over a body before they consume it to take on the person's likeness.
Holy shit. First thing I think is, how would some human have this knowledge?
Right.
I'm a little suspicious already.
Right. But as you read on, the words in the book, Walter, start to hit a strange cadence. It kind of sucks you in further as you read it. It has a strange rhythm to it that is both patterned and chaotic at once, like an irregular heartbeat. The world begins to swirl around you. Give me a sanity roll.
Oh, shit.
Actually, I'm sorry, before the sanity roll, give me a pow roll.
Giving Walter a fib too.
Ooh, where's a 15?
Very good. And then sanity.
Ooh, 22.
Hell yeah.
Okay. So, Walter.
Killing the rolls.
You you learn more of these strange details of these serpent folk. Like I said, including these blessings and prayers that they say over a body before consuming it. Walter, I hate to break it to you, but you now know how to eat someone and take on their likeness.
Whoa.
You know the steps to do it.
I mean, if you had to eat someone and become them.
Well, yeah, with that part in mind specifically, I mean, do I have to consume an entire corpse or like a piece of them? Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
I think your best bet is to maybe turn into like a predatory animal first, and then it won't be so weird when you eat a person to become them. Right? It won't be cannibalism.
You have to consume the body over a period of, I think, 2 to 5 days. Ooh, and
it's going to spoil in that time.
Yeah, so you got to eat it over that time, and you have to do prayers in between each like session as you eat it.
Oh my goodness.
Let's call up them Russians. Get you that curse.
Shit. Oh, yeah. Man, that'd be crazy. Eat somebody as a Wendigo, wake up as an entirely different person, and be like, wait, what just happened?
Well, right, with no memory. That's wild. It would be nuts.
Combining shit like that, that would be... That's a neat little homebrew. Anyway.
That'd be insane.
All right, so, Walter, you've learned this horrible, terrible ritual. It's in your head now, and unfortunately you can't get it out.
Oh, man. He's, like, just trying to put off the thought of just ingesting human meat. And his thoughts actually return to Millie, to be honest with you.
That makes sense. The whole Wendigo business.
He's actually a little panic-stricken for a second. Like, if that had happened, then the... Holy moly.
Good thing Walter knows how to keep a cool head. Passing them sanity rolls. So I was gonna...
Does his mythos go up?
Oh, after the... Yeah, after Chad.
Good point.
Learning this... You haven't fully studied the whole book yet, but after learning this ritual, yes, we will put you up 1 point of mythos.
Oh, shit.
Your max sanity goes down one.
Now that you could read it.
Now that you have.
Do you know that the book is actually called How to Serve Humans for Dinner?
Well, it does tell you how to eat them. Or just how to eat any sort of humanoid, I guess. Because it can do it to other snakes, obviously. I think the rule is that it has to be within 2 size points for you to be able to take their shape.
But if you wanted to be a snake,
you can't
person,
like take the shape of a baby.
Gotcha.
Let's say.
I was thinking, just eat a small person. Eat one of Thompson's kids. It would take you less time, be less disturbing.
That's a good point.
Or no, I guess it wouldn't be less disturbing to eat a child. I didn't say that. I don't mean it.
It would just be quicker. There's less to eat.
Less, you know, rituals you have to do in between because you're like, you know.
Let's just say course the meat's one, a little more tender.
Yeah.
Course two.
Walter, this disturbing knowledge is going to haunt you probably for the rest of the day, but we're going to leave you there, and let's go to Heather. What you just got done getting some records of one of the people that you saw yourself as during one of your mushroom-induced nightmares.
Mm-hmm. I think I was just going to see Walter since I was all the way already down there. Mm-hmm. Check on him, tell him about, you know, that I see dead people and I know how they die from eating mushrooms, fill him in on the dream, and that I know where, like, the family members of the deceased are. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's probably not a good time right now since he's probably going through a little something, but I don't know that.
That's true. So, by the time you get there and after Walter has had his chance to learn more about these horrifying rituals, Heather, you get to the hospital.
I was actually going to say, you know, given what he just learned and what he was working on before, you probably get there and find him kind of like trance-like, just kind of mumbling some of the words to the Call the Lightning spell. Maybe not to cast it, but to try to take his mind off of what he was reading in the other book.
To distract yourself.
Yeah, he's trying to commit like sections of it to memory, I guess, just to kind of focus on anything but that scaly leather-bound book.
All right. So, Heather, you come in, and you see Walter in this strange trance, just kind of staring out to nothing, muttering to himself.
Okay, does he even hear me come in, or he's just...
I'd say probably not.
Zonked.
Yeah, I think he's kind of zoned out.
Hey, Walter?
What?
Hey, Walter.
Heather.
You okay?
And he kind of rubs his eyes and, like, you know, blinks pretty fiercely, or keeps them closed for a minute there. And then kind of comes back like, hey, how are you? Good morning. Tries to come back to it, plays it off a little bit.
I'm good. How are you? Are you hitting that morphine a little hard today? What's going on?
He kind of chuckles and sighs a little bit. He says, I kind of read some of the book, and I'm not sure if I should have or not. I think that Brightly can do what the Sneak people can do. Like, this book contains information about how to do what the Ophidians do. And, I mean, is Brightly even who he says he is? I mean, he seems like the kind of person who would use... Well, I mean, he seems like the person who kind of likes this forbidden knowledge, but to actually consume someone... He kind of says it out loud, but, like, disbelieving what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But to kind of gauge, you know, his own sense of, I guess, reality at this point, he's kind of saying it to you to see what your opinion is, to see if you reflect any of this madness or if you have any, you know, stability in all this.
What? I mean, I never trusted him, but so now you know how to do that?
And his face probably goes a little pale. I'm trying not to think about that part.
Does it say, like, do you become them, like, their thoughts and everything? Like, does it say anything about that? Or are you just physically the person?
I try to think back to that part. I'm actually a little curious about that, too.
No, you do not retain the person's memories. Just their image and their voice. That's what you retain from them. I mean, you're an exact copy of them, but you only have your own memories.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, wouldn't that mean that somebody would know Brightly who knew him when he was different? Wouldn't there be a change to his personality if he's not who we think he is?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Does it mention anything about it becoming permanent or if there's a way to revert, if they could switch between other personalities or any of that kind of thing?
Yes, so you can maintain the forms of multiple people depending on how many you eat.
Man.
So you can switch between them.
It's likely how they do it and not the other, like, more temporary skinwalking ability that Yuki had. This is more of the way they do it, the snake people.
Holy shit. I mean, the only person we really know, I mean, that we could trust kind of-ish is Raquel, but, I mean, if it's only a professional relationship, she probably hasn't known him for that long.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, do you know how long she's worked there to how long he's worked there? Like, how long, does he have any relatives?
You guys have spoken to him in the past and know that he has been there for years longer than Raquel has been.
Comes along with tenure, I guess.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, I guess if we can find someone that knew him before he did this transformation, it would help give some clarity on whether or not he is who he, like, says he is.
I mean, at this point, we don't even know who Brightly could be. Oh my gosh.
I can tell I have made you guys very paranoid at this point, which is fun for me. But I don't want to stress you guys out too much. And since Chuck's eating, I think I'll go to Thompson.
I did want to ask him if he thinks he, like, can you eat dead people?
Oh, go for it.
Do you have to, yeah.
Okay,
like,
go to that.
Does it say anything about you having to kill them, then consume them? Well, or do you eat them alive? Like,
I mean, I guess you could do both ways, but... I assumed it implied that they would be dead when you were eating them. I mean, from From what I know, you can't really... I mean, humans can't eat humans raw because there's a certain chemical in their flesh that would make one go insane, which in the context of this book might not be an issue. But for me, personally, I think...
It doesn't say specifically that they have to be dead, but it doesn't say that they have to be alive.
It just says they have to be eaten.
Yep.
Could he have killed Tuli with his other spell and then...
Well, I mean, nobody's ever seen Raymond again since his death. I don't think that he's been copied.
True. I don't know.
I do have an interesting idea, though. You'd mentioned something about a neighbor when you stopped by Brightly's house. I wonder, you know, if they've known Brightly for a while. Perhaps they might have knew him way back when versus now. And I definitely don't think we should keep this book. I'm almost considering whether or not I should read the rest of it, but it's probably for the best that I do at this point, but I think we should return this as quickly as possible.
Question, does it say the person needs to be completely consumed or just ritualistically consumed over the course of the 5 days?
Bones could be a problem.
No, it has to be completely consumed.
Like bones and everything?
Yes.
Bones and all?
Bones and all. Which is not so much a problem for snake folk who can just kind of unhinge their jaw.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be using this for a number of reasons, but...
It's cool to know about, I mean, as far as the pursuit of knowledge, but yeah, it doesn't seem very likely or easy to do for...
A human, yeah.
A man. It's a lot of bones to eat.
Yeah, you would definitely need like some sort of blender or something. Mm. There's a lot of bones to eat.
I know what the name of this episode should be.
What's that?
Man-eater.
Man-eater.
Comes.
Yeah, that's why. Now, thinking about it, 5 days almost seems like a race. It seems less likely. It's a lot to eat over 5 days.
Yeah.
It is.
Bones and all, too? Shit, man. Some work.
It's definitely.
Got to get someone thin, maybe.
That's what the experiment's about. Get them all emaciated first so there's less of them to consume.
Nope.
I doubt that. That's a stretch. I'm just being silly.
No. Nope.
Just make sure you're on your toes, Heather.
Just seeing what you guys reacted to that bonehead thought.
It's fun to speculate, but you know.
Speaking of Heather's toes, there's other digits that were removed because she touched some mushrooms and is now seeing nightmares. Are you going to tell Walter about that?
Yes, so should I tell the whole...
You don't have to tell him the whole dream. Just, you know.
Okay, so I just tell you the whole dream about how I can see dead people, and it's because I touched the mushrooms.
Recount the dream a little bit to refresh my memory, too. I'm sorry.
Okay. So I can see... I keep having these reoccurring dreams, and they're always, like, of the last moments of someone's life. And, I'm pretty sure I'm seeing the people who died and were in Yuki's wall. And I think it's because I touched the mushrooms.
Holy shit. I wonder how many bodies were recovered.
I don't know, but I don't know how many more of these dreams I can mentally handle. I actually went to City Hall because I get some of the memories of the people. Like, I know I am them in the dream, so I know my name and the name of my loved ones. And one of the people, the couple that was killed by Yuki, their children went to their living relatives, their parents, and they're in Delaware County.
Walter looks kind of grim for a second, and he's like, whoa, you're not thinking about like reaching out to them or something. He's like, Heather, don't, please do not implicate yourself in any way in this. I mean, we need you now more than ever.
So you don't think I should ask them about it? I don't think I should go there.
I maybe anonymously at best. I mean, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, as they say. I mean, if that comes back to you, and I mean, what if there's other people that were working with Yuki? It sounds like a lot of bad could come from getting involved with these other people. I don't know. It's just my thought to be wary.
I wasn't really going to go there because I don't trust them, but maybe I could make like a phone call from a payphone and ask.
I mean, to what end? I mean, what's your goal?
I was just thinking I would call and say that I was doing a report about missing people. I don't know. But if I can remember enough of these dreams and track down enough people, could I don't know. I kind of was here to ask you if you had any ideas what I should do with these horrible, horrible visions.
I mean, if perhaps, you know, you could provide the family with some sort of closure, I mean, maybe that would ease your own anguish on this subject. But, I mean, again, maybe anonymously, you know, I don't want to sound too paranoid, but I mean, you know, maybe think about cutting some letters out of magazine pages or something. I don't know, but that might be extreme, but I wouldn't go.
It makes it look worse.
You see, Walter went from disturbed to even more disturbed by the end of this conversation.
Believe it. All right, so now there's no heater on. Let's get back to Thompson and Raquel and Willis all in Willis's garage out in Elkins Park. It's about 8 in the morning. You had removed the lid from the...
And he was like, yeah, from the crate that Ophidian corpse was in. He was like, yeah, I can look at it. I freaked out a little before, but I'll be fine. And he freaked again.
Yeah, he did. And so we left off with him just screaming. And he starts to back up from the crate and going, oh my God, it's coming at me. Someone stop it.
I try to subdue him or calm him down a bit. Not subdue, I guess, necessarily, unless I have to, but I try to calm him down. Close the crate. You're fine. It's just me.
He fell backwards and is on his ass now and is trying to scoot back, and he's in the corner and he's trying to shield himself from nothing.
I glance at Raquel and kind of raise my brows.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've both kind of been in this situation before.
Right.
But she was just last night, I guess. I make my way over to him and guess crouch next to him or whatever and try to get him together.
Okay.
They used to slap people back then. I don't really know how effective it was, but I feel like
it's time for a slap.
Do I know any better? Yeah, I'm just going to give him like a little, get it together, a little shake, you know, grab him by the sweater vest or whatever.
All right, let's see. You tell him it's not real. You know, shake him.
I say, yeah, get it together. It's
and
dead.
He starts to rub his eyes and he looks around and he's in a cold sweat and he goes, oh.
Take your time. Calm down.
I'm sorry. And he starts to slowly get back up. Raquel goes, is everything okay? And she goes, oh my God, wait, I have class. I have to get to class.
Say, should we get you a cab? Willis, should we go in your house? You could probably calm down. But she needs a phone, I guess. I'll try to help him to his feet. Try to coax him into the house.
Okay. All right, so you help him up to his feet, and Raquel takes a cab, or calls a cab. She knows she's going to be pretty late to her classes, probably miss her first one.
I also wanted to coax him into his house. Now that I have access to all his secret possessions.
Mm-hmm.
Just gotta sneak around a bit.
Sneaky freaking police officer tricks.
While she's calling a cab, I guess I sit him down. Would we have gone through like the back door? Or is there, it was a separate garage or was it connected?
It's a separate garage. So you have to leave out the.
Would we have gone in his back door?
Yeah, you would go on in the back door.
Sit him down in his kitchen or something, I guess, then. Assuming, or dining room or whatever is right there. Close his chair.
He's trembling.
I'd be like, do you want water or something? Should I get you something?
He says, yeah, maybe just some water. Get me a rag with the cold water on it, too.
I start just like randomly opening drawers and stuff. I say, where am I looking? But also kind of just get a glimpse of everything.
You come across a rag.
All right.
There's nothing in the drawers that are out of the ordinary.
A human hand.
Complete log of everything I've done wrong recently.
Does he keep the glasses like with the lip side up or down? You know, does he have mats?
Lip sides are up.
All right. People don't like that. But I don't really, it doesn't matter. It's dusty, who cares?
So you try to calm him down even further while kind of looking around the place. And you know what? It's a bit modern for 85. You got your, let's see, what's a modern 85 house look like?
He's probably got like that, like a sweet like stack with like a microwave and like an oven and like a broiler or something maybe.
Maybe like an accent wall. It like has different wallpaper than the other walls. I thought we were so fly we had that in our house. Oh my god, I thought we were so fancy. And it was like insane when I think of it now. Most of the walls were this straight pastel, like pink and blues. And then one was floral.
That's pretty dope.
I was like, yeah, I thought we were
I'm
like...
seeing something pretty similar to that, actually.
He's got a custom fitted washroom.
He's got an automatic dishwasher, probably.
Giant first gen microwave.
Nah, it would be like third gen maybe.
He's got things with a lot of like sharp angles on it. Coffee table that's wire framed almost looking with glass on top of it, just the clear glass.
Those black and white sculptures, those angular people with big shoulders. Nice place you got here, Willis.
There is a pastel pink walls.
Damn.
Yeah. Swanky.
Some glass block wall that looks like it's there for almost no reason.
What was that last part? A what?
It's a room divider that's made out of a glass block wall.
Huh.
Uh-huh.
He's got the vertical blinds over the back glass door.
Nice.
And vertical blinds in the bay window in the front as well. Everything's pretty 80s, but modern for the 80s.
Does it look like a way a bachelor would decorate his home? He's not married, right? Yeah, okay.
He is not. It does look like the way a bachelor would decorate his home, though.
How does he dress again? What does he wear? Is he the one that does the same outfit every day, or is that Tom?
No, that's Tom. Okay. No. Yeah, he's tall, very tall. He usually...
Does it look like he has, like, some fashion sense?
Or, he does, actually. He usually wears, like, a... You see him wearing right now, for example, a turtleneck with a sports jacket over it.
And snazzy.
Yeah, some slacks with some really nice-looking brown leather shoes.
Would you say he's a creased pants kind of guy?
Spiffy.
I would say yes, creased pants.
Man, this dude is stylish.
Hubba hubba.
Heartthrob. Should be in Teen Beat magazine. So.
Or like that date game that you'd Dream play. Date. Dream date.
You got the dud!
So I get him a rag and all that, I guess. Have a quick peek around to see if anything's out of place or odd or, you know.
Okay. On a cursory look, give me a spot hidden roll. Anything under an extreme won't turn up anything, though.
Under, above. Anything, yeah, gotcha. Anything less effective than extreme.
Less effective than extreme.
Less extreme.
Yes. Must be extreme.
Spot hidden, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I might as well. 11%. I got a 29. I'm not going to... That's a lot to spend. I don't want to do that.
That's a lot to spend.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
You don't know. You don't know what's going to turn up.
I've been looking around. Nothing really, you know. He seems pretty clean.
Yeah.
Not leaving shit around at all. But I won't push it just yet.
The place is clean, if not sparsely decorated, but everything does seem very neat within the house.
Get him a water or something, too? Or...
He's got one of those refrigerators that's got the water in the door.
Ooh, fancy.
It's a black refrigerator, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's so modern.
Whoa.
Yeah. Super modern.
That's pretty neat. I'll fill him up a cup of water.
All right. Bring it back to him, and he's He drinks it down and he goes, oh my God. All right.
Yeah, I pull out a chair or something. Sit down with him for a second.
He looks like he's trying to pull it together. He's rubbing his temples. He goes, okay. All right. Well, detective, I guess we should start by laying the body out.
I've already cleared out your freezer, so storage might not be too much of an issue. But, I mean, if you think you're up for it, otherwise, feel free to have a short break or something. I mean, if you'd like, I'll try to wrestle it out of that crate by myself.
He says, if you think you can handle it, that would actually be probably really helpful. We're going to say it took you about an hour to calm him down enough.
Does he get up and use the bathroom or anything at any point in that hour?
Let's see if he does. Let's give him a constitution roll. No, he doesn't have to use the bathroom.
Poop.
Or anything during that time. He's just kind of sitting there staring at the ground. You're doing small talk with him to try to keep his mind off.
I like
off
hold
of
him
it.
And shake him a little bit. I sing to him.
Yeah, yeah. A little lullaby. Yeah,
like men do. Yeah.
Woosa, baby.
I just want to be rocked and cradled, you know?
And someone to change my diaper. Anyway.
Yes.
So he calmed down a bit. And all right, so yeah, you go out to Willis's garage and try to wrestle this snake out of the crate by yourself.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, not exactly, but yeah, I guess so. There was some kind of device we were using to move it.
Yeah, you had a dolly, like a wheeled dolly. It was strapped to it.
Okay, did we just kind of like lay that down and leave it on there? Is it still? Oh no, if we opened it, the straps wouldn't be on there. I'm gonna strap it back up. The lid doesn't necessarily have to be on, but I guess maybe for now. And then try to drag the whole thing up onto the table rather than trying to lift him out. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what would be easier, really. I mean, just pull it from one end or try to...
Well, you could pull off one of the sides of the crate.
Yeah, I figured once I get it up there, I could just kind of dump it over or...
I would think the best way would be to position it in front of the table, take one of the side panels off and just kind of push them onto the table. Then you just have to lift the legs up, basically.
If I stand it up, isn't it going to, like, crumple into the bottom half of the crate anyway? He's not frozen, and it's... I'd imagine the box... Well, it was, like, sarcophagus size, so... There'd be something.
I don't know. If you want to make it harder on yourself, dude, sure.
Or whatever I think is easiest, I guess.
Nope. He crumbles to the bottom.
Ah.
You're going to have to give me a strength roll to do anything. Hard pass.
What if I take one of the straps? Are they ratchet straps? What if I take one of those to use to just like kind of crank them up on over top? Use it to pull them up.
Okay, get a. You can got to be a hard pass, but you get a bonus die.
Oh, cool! I like that. Oh, they're the same number. 65. will not do it. They both failed.
No, having a real tough time trying to lift out this dead weight, crumpled heap of snake man.
Yeah, I don't know why I volunteered for that job anyway. But I'm going to take a short break and snoop around a little bit, see if I can find anything to help me with this, and also anything that might stand out.
All right.
Under the guise of looking for tools or something.
Right. Yeah. He's still in the house, so.
Well, I don't know if he's going to pop up.
Right. But looking around, give me a spot hidden roll.
Poop. 94 ain't gonna do it.
Well, doing your cursory look around the place, trying to figure out how to lift this snake man onto the table, you don't really see anything that seems too out of place in a garage that wouldn't look at... Well, I mean, there are definitely some things that looks out of place in a garage, but you don't see anything that would look out of place in a laboratory for sure.
Yeah.
You're not too familiar with this type of equipment, you know, regardless of how many times you've been into the forensics lab.
I want to look under the corners of like the freezer or anywhere I think maybe what if there was drippy bloods or, you know, anything that might have fallen under something.
So you're taking a closer look. Are you pushing your roll?
I'm pushing my roll by getting down on my kneesies and my handsies.
Okay.
Seventeen is a hard pass.
All right. Okay. So you get down on your hands and knees. Hold on one second. Let's see. Okay.
He hit the flow.
Next thing you know,
Luke Thompson get low, 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 low.
Okay. You hit the flow. God damn it. And you're kind of down on your knees looking under one of the tables, and you see what looks like a familiar colored piece of dried up leaf sitting under one of the tables.
Like a purple lotus?
Like a purple lotus leaf dried up. Looks like it kind of fell underneath the table here, maybe while he was processing it.
Yeah, what a jerk. Like, for how rare that is, he's just like throwing them around willy-nilly. I know they shrivel pretty quickly. Do I think it is possibly some of the stuff that he got more recently, or does it look older?
It looks pretty old. Tough to tell because once the flower's dried out, it just kind of looks...
like a dried flower.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be useful at all, do I?
Give me an intelligence roll.
97 However, I believe a 97 is bad. Can I spend 97?
97?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, you can spend luck.
I would only need to spend 7. It's pretty smart.
Wow, you're really smart.
All right, I'm spending 7 luck because I ain't doing that. Oh, hell no.
So, you remember when Heather was recounting her kidnapping by Yuki?
Kidnappings by Yuki.
She said that Yuki blew some powder into her face before she started tripping out.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that maybe just to crush this up a little bit, you know, might be enough to dose someone.
I imagine I might have some rubber gloves or something in my pocket.
Absolutely.
You know, Jobsky.
You're a crime scene investigator.
I try to, like, gently grab it with, you know, between the rubber glove, kind of, like, cradle it in, you know, roll it in the glove just to keep it from... I assume it's going to start crumbling almost immediately if I try to pocket it, so I'll wrap it in the glove.
Give me another intelligence roll. I mean, it's hard for you to fail, but...
I dropped one. It is, especially with a 14, which is a hard extreme. Ooh.
Okay, you have a little notebook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can put that little leaf in the notebook.
Lay it on down in there.
There you go. It'll be well protected there.
Kind of fold the page around it a little bit, make a little envelope.
Okay. That's cool.
Smart. Smart.
That might help.
As you do that, you start to tuck your book away, and then you hear the footsteps of Willis approaching.
I say, hey, Freeman, I can't seem to lift him alone. I can't find anything to help neither.
He says, all right, let's get these ratchet straps off of here.
Yeah, I tried to pull him up under the arms with it. Yeah. It just didn't really work.
Yeah, he says, let's both do it and, you know, do the other set as well.
All right. Is it on three or at three?
What's your strength?
Is it 1, 2, 3 go or is it like 1, 2, 3 go on three?
Three, no, no, no. 1, 2, 3 then go.
1, 2, 3 then go.
1, 2, 3 go. Three,
go.
Yeah. All right. What's your strength?
15.
50. His is 60. This guy weighs... All right, with the both of you doing it, you don't need to do a strength roll with your combined strengths. Yeah. Yes. Pretty much. Yeah, stiff as a board, light as a feather.
Oh. Does that mean I learned a new ritual?
Please.
He doesn't even know light as a feather, stiff as a board.
I bet he never even heard of Bloody Mary.
Oh, dear.
All right, so So you have him lifted up on the table. Willis goes, well, if this thing's anatomy is anything like a snake's, I would think. And then he turns around and starts going into a drawer. He pulls out like a little knife, kind of a scalpel. And he starts to slice down the side of the serpent folk's neck.
I make sure I got glasses on. Take out my notebook. Might make some notes just in case. Anything we could learn might help.
All right. He's slicing this thing. You make sure you have your glasses on.
Yeah, I don't want to get squirted.
Well, it's a good thing, because as he's cutting through it, there is a squirt that comes out.
Always.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes, oh, crap. And he recoils back from it. But he gets some on his shoulder, and you get some across your glasses. Mm. Luckily, it didn't get in your eyes.
I used the pen. I got my hand. I tapped the arm of my glasses as I'm looking at him.
So he goes, oh, God. And he wipes it. He takes a shop towel and wipes his shoulder off and goes, oh, God.
I reach out for the towel he's using.
Thanks.
As I'm taking my glasses off. And I wipe my glasses.
Oh. All right. So you clean your glasses off with that. And he goes, okay. Then goes back to the drawer again and pulls out what looks like some sort of tweezers.
Okay.
And he goes in with the knife again and the tweezers. And he pulls out this bulbous, bleeding sack that looks like it's yellowish in color.
Yummy.
It looks like an egg yolk almost.
Oh.
But it's dripping and bloody.
So is this a venom sack?
He goes, yeah, I believe it is. He holds it up to the light, turns it around a little bit. And he goes, you know, we can create an anti-venom with this.
My eyes light up.
Mm-hmm.
That would be useful.
He goes, sorry.
Oh, he just friggin' contaminated the whole thing.
I thought that was him. I really thought you were like, and then he coughs all over it. You fucker.
Nope.
He's the snake. He just contaminated the whole thing.
He keeps doing that.
No, that was just me coughing. That was just me coughing. I was having a cough fit.
So paranoid.
So he takes the venom sack. And he pulls out a syringe, pushes it through the sack, pulls out this viscous, pale yellow liquid comes out of it. And he takes it and puts it under a microscope. And he starts putting other agents into it, not sure exactly what they are. But it starts to give off a weird smell. It's kind of like a sickening sweet smell almost.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Cover my face with a hanky or something.
Mm-hmm. It's a little nauseating. Willis pulls his head back from the microscope. And without turning to you, he says, huh, looks like it very similar to arsenic. But with just a couple changes, it looks like. It's barely discernible from it.
Hmm. Interesting. Make a note.
Mm-hmm.
Should that be important to me at all? I don't remember. All right.
Well, have you given an education roll?
I was going to say, was there an arsenic death somewhere in our past?
I might not have wrote it down. Education?
Yeah.
65 out of 85. It's a pass.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, that's right.
Who? I'm sorry. Who? Oh, the guy you wanted me to turn into.
And I wanted you to take his skin. Not anymore.
This is not anymore. He can't be Lenny.
I don't even want you to fully eat Lenny, so that you could just become him.
I mean,
I don't want Walter to teach you how to do it. So that
collateral damage.
But yeah. That was what Lenny's autopsy report said was poisoned by arsenic.
Right, that checks out.
Mm-hmm. Self-inflicted, yeah. Supposedly.
Yeah, supposedly.
Well, then we know who killed, specifically, who killed Lenny then.
Yeah.
I directly know that for a fact that he bit him then, right? Had to.
You know that.
And you saw bite marks on his body, right?
Yeah.
No. Well, I knew, but I mean,
this puncture marks. Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
This is confirmation, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I already do, but.
Right. So he takes another syringe and pulls out more of this goo from the venom sac. And he says, now, this will take probably at least another day, but I think I can synthesize some sort of anti-venom from this just in case any of us gets bit during this process.
I'm kind of standing back at this point because of the smell and maybe in the doorway. Having a cig or something, blowing it out the door or something.
Okay.
Just like barely inside the room.
You know, Detective, if you could just do me a little bit of help, can you hand me that beaker over there? And he points across the room.
Fine. yeah, sure. I walk over and where is this beaker?
It's just the opposite side of the room from where he's sitting.
What, like on a shelf or something? All right, yeah. I'll walk over.
It's on a shelf. All right.
I'll walk to the beaker.
Walk over and you hand him the beaker that he asked for. He asked for a specific shape and you found it. You hand it over to him. That's all. That's all. Nothing happened.
I don't like the way you're talking, George. I don't like the way that you're talking, though. The way you're saying it. The way you're saying it is like you're going to kill Thompson. He's going to inject him with this stuff right into his back when he turns around to get this beaker. That's what it sounds like.
Is he saying that, though?
It's not, yeah. that's not what happened. We good. I'll give him the beaker.
Okay. So you hand him the beaker, and he pours something out from one test tube into the beaker and puts it over some fire, and you're watching this, and all looks like wizardry to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty much just waiting.
But Willis says, you know, this could take several hours to do this.
Does it look like he's kind of getting into it now? Like he's going
to looks like he's starting to get into his zone, for sure.
I say, do you mind if I use your bathroom?
No, sure. Go right ahead. You can use the powder room, the first floor bathroom. It's right next to the kitchen.
Gotcha.
Opposite of the kitchen.
All right. So I let myself out and then into the house.
Okay.
And as I was, like, closing the garage door, I kind of looked back at him, and did he, like, turn back around and go back to it?
He watches you walk into the house.
Okay. And then I walk toward the powder room. Do I see any basement stairs or, like, a basement door or anything? Is that nearby?
You do see a door. You're not exactly sure where it leads to.
And where is that when I come in?
So you come in through the back door, which leads into what looks like some sort of pantry room.
Okay.
And then it's divided off. It's not really, it's like a mud room / pantry room.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like there's a door that blocks it. It's just, you know, a door, an archway that you walk through to get into the kitchen.
Okay.
Right. You see a door in the kitchen. And you know that the opposite side of the... He told you... oh, my God. All right.
He said there was the...
Opposite...
Outer room was...
Opposite of the kitchen. So, the opposite wall. The other side of the wall from where the kitchen is.
Gotcha.
You understand? Okay. So, that's where that is. And there's another door there, too.
So, I know that the door in the kitchen is not the powder room, but that's the first one I walked to check because, you know, basic directions.
Right.
It was a little weird, and I was like, okay, yeah, listen, but like I didn't really hear him.
So it is opposite stay?
Yeah. So I walked to the door in the kitchen just to scope it out.
All right. So you head over to that door, and you go to open it, and it is locked.
Does it seem like a sturdy door?
It seems like the door is... Not your typical indoors door. Maybe feels like an external door.
Okay. And the locks on it, are there any like sliding bars or is it just like key lock type shit? And is it like, does it look extra secure? Like overly?
It doesn't look overly secure. However, it is locked and it looks like it's just a door handle key lock.
All right. I kind of give it a little kick, just like a tap. I don't know why, with my foot. And then I start looking around for... where the bathroom might possibly be from here. I go to the opposite. I go around the
Around the corner. Yep.
Where the powder room is.
Do you go into the powder room?
Yeah.
Do you take a shit?
Oh, no. Well, oh,
okay.
Roll for it.
Roll for Dookie.
I mean, I've been running around a lot lately. I've been stressed. Like, I don't think I'll have a moment.
Evens or poop, odds or pee.
Oh, I was going to roll Constitution.
Yeah, roll Constitution.
A 93 ain't going to do it. That's a fail.
Oh, no, Thompson.
I got to go.
You got it. You got
finally had a moment to relax.
You've been holding it too long. It's all coming out.
That coffee and cocaine is going right through you.
I hope he has an industrial pump in his sewer, man. This is coming.
All right, so Thompson's busy doing that. Let's go back.
After I sit down, I look to see if there's toilet paper.
There isn't.
No!
Cliffhanger! Oh!
And that's where we're going to end the episode.
No!
How does Thompson wipe?
Whoa.
Bunk, bunk.
Are we role-playing that out, or are we just going to...
No. Please, no.
No, no.
All right, back to Heather and Walter. Thompson, you are just a half hour behind Heather and Walter right now.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Right.
And where are they at?
They're at the hospital.
No, I mean, what time, rather?
They're at 10 o'clock. You're at 9:30.
Gotcha.
10 o'clock. Do you guys decide to do anything?
Walter says, you know, I've read through all these books. Maybe the next time we catch up with Luke, we can have him and or you. Luke has the keys, or the key, rather, to the safety deposit boxes. But, you know, maybe we could arrange to swap out these four books and maybe get four more. I'll still be here for a few days, and I've plotted all the lines for these books.
Yeah, I mean, I could catch up with him and get the keys, or...
Do I still have the key, or did I give it back to you when I brought you the books?
Oh, that's a good point.
I can't imagine I would have hung on to the key.
You know what? I've been drifting in and out with this morphine, so like it's possible that you gave them to me and I totally forgot.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, actually, I seized the keys like with the other books that he wasn't reading currently, I guess.
Seize the keys.
Seize the
keys. Carpe keyum.
Oh, but actually...
That's so dumb.
I know. You're welcome. Sorry.
George, something comes to mind.
Sorry.
The parts in the book that I read about Sathagwa, did it ever mention there were any like human, you know, sects of cults that are like broken off, or is it just their Ophidian cultists?
This wasn't the Brightly book. This was the Speculum Magus books, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, what was the question again?
Essentially, you know, like how the regular Ophidians have, like, Yuki's cult of followers, do Sathagwa's worshippers have their own human cultist followers? Or is there any mention of that?
There is mention of that. There's mention that his followers are generally considered to be madmen, because it says in these that Sathagwa is something that lives within the earth, and every so many millions or hundreds or thousands of years will surface to feed. There's theory that humans are actually just there to be its food source.
Damn. I mean, is that to imply that they had something to do with our creation, or that they simply heard us? Walter gets kind of deep for a second. How will, because these people are way older than the human race, right?
Yes.
From what he knows?
Very much so. It doesn't specifically say, but it may have some implication of it.
That they've been hurting us, or that they had something to do with our, you know, birth as a race?
More something to do with the creation of the human race.
Damn. Yeah, you know, I think Walter kind of sits on that part, because I'm thinking he's kind of thumbing through this book and maybe reading some of that out loud. Mm-hmm. But then when he comes to that revelation, he may not choose to share that immediately.
It doesn't specifically say it, but...
Yeah, because it is insight that he's thinking of. So it's not really fact or anything. Walter doesn't really get theologic very often, but because these guys are so old, I don't know. Makes him kind of wonder, because right. He does kind of analyze things, and he loves to find knowledge like this in books. So, geez. He closes the book suddenly.
Walter, you realize that the more you read about this, the more delicate your psyche becomes. You just become, everything around you is just seeming darker and more hopeless. You feel like this new knowledge, although satisfying in an academic sort of way, it is taking a toll on your, not so much body, but mind and spirit for sure.
Chakras off.
I would imagine too, just the rate at which he's learning these dark revelations is much faster than what his mind can process in the short span of time.
It really is, Walter. In fact, let's get one more sanity roll from you.
Yeah, I could definitely see him dwelling on that thought for a few more moments after he closes the book suddenly and just doesn't say anything for like 40 seconds. You're like,
yep.
Looking
you
at
okay,
him.
Walter? Yeah, like, especially slamming the book down.
Well, not slamming it down, closing it suddenly with no reason as to why or what he was thinking.
Just a look on your face.
36.
Ooh.
Still doing
it. Right.
And, he shakes his head a little bit suddenly.
Always passing this. What is your sanity?
It's pretty good at the moment. I'm at...
You're at like 70-something, right?
78, yeah.
Jesus!
What?
It's because he started off with really high pal.
Steel trap.
Right, yeah.
Given what I had hoped to do with Walter, I thought it might be in his best interest.
I mean, you're getting there. You're getting there.
Now that mythos keeps rising.
Oh, speaking of which, learning these spells and whatnot, Oh, no, not the spells, but Walter's condition. Walter, did you get a constitution roll yet today? I know you got a hit point back.
No, I don't think anything with constitution.
All right, give me a constitution roll. Let me know if you get a hard pass or better.
No good, 87.
Oof.
Out of 60.
All right. This healing process is very slow. Granted, it's only been like a day, but you are coming to the realization now that you're probably going to be here for a while.
My original expectations were at least a week from when I was admitted, but being that he's a bit older and he's not a very physically imposing individual anyway, I mean, it's not like he's really looking to get into brawls or scuffles.
What is his constitution?
60. That's his one kind of good stat.
That's not bad.
It's better than Luke's.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Luke smokes, so.
he's more slender. He's not, he's dexterous and intelligent.
Yeah, I mean, he's just not brutish. I mean, he's not unhealthy.
Yeah,
he's just kind of small. And
that's good.
I would like to think that he's lived a good life. He might toil away tirelessly to fix things, but
probably a little bit healthy.
I'm going to keep giving you constitution rolls each day, and the more you pass, the quicker you're going to get out of the hospital.
That sounds good, yeah.
So that's what we'll do with that. Heather,
I mean, it's still early enough. He looks
well. I was gonna go get the book.
I was gonna say, it's still early enough. If I can arrange something at the bank, maybe we could do that today, just so I'm not wasting any time in here.
All right,
yeah, that would be cool if you called. I just don't want them hassling me if I get there with your key. I don't know.
I wonder too, how many pages is the Terrible Snake Society book?
It looks like it's maybe a little bit more than 100 pages.
I gotcha.
The writing in it is very small. The print is very small in it.
Oh, shit. Like, given what Walter knows about copying, photocopying and Xeroxing and all that stuff, does it look like this is something that could still be legible after it were copied?
It might not be.
Shit. That's what I was afraid of.
Yeah.
What was the cover of that? Was it
Snakeskin?
It looked like a snake skin binding.
Okay, like regular snakes, like earth snakes.
That's a good point. How big are the scales, like relative to like, you know, like a pet snake or like a giant boa constrictor or something?
Or like an ophidian.
Well, give me a natural world roll. I don't know if you'd... Well, the scales are big. Just put it that way. The scales are big on it.
Got you. Dig it.
All right.
Walter says, you know, this stuff is so tiny in places. Or wait, let me back it up a step. Does Walter know enough about Xerox machines to relay the quality settings?
I would say
and
that
like
you
that?
Would, because you work in that bookshop, that you guys have a copy machine in there.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
He says, well, could I maybe have you do a test of some of the pages of some of the fine print and see if we can Xerox this before we give it back? He says, I think I need to take a break from reading this anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I can just do it while I'm going down to get your books.
That's what I was hoping. All right, great. So he sets the books down and he gives the bank a call real quick.
Okay. Call up the bank. Tell them that you're going to send Heather again.
I'm going to see if I can arrange for that to happen, yeah.
So, Walter, you know that you have still... how many books are left? You're
there
done with...
There should be another 7, right?
Yeah, there's 7 left, yeah. You're starting to tear through them kind of quick, actually.
Got it down to a system.
Yeah, you have it down to a system, and like I said, it only plots out a line like every 10 pages or something like that. So you have to really... go through these things, but you're flying through them. Now you have all day, you have it down to a science at this point, and you're tearing through them. You think maybe just getting the other 7, even maybe taking the rest of them out and putting the original ones back might be a good idea.
Is there enough room here in the like hospital for 7 of these big ass books though at once?
Oh yeah. Yeah, you have enough room between the top of the dresser and the 2 drawers in the dresser. You have enough room for 7 of them.
Okay. Well then, yeah, I'll see if I can get all that arranged then. I mean, I guess they don't really need to know about the contents that I'm taking out, but, you know, I let them know about Heather and that she's my assistant, and then I'm still laid up in the hospital, same as the first time kind of thing.
All right, so Heather, you go and get 7 of these books this time?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay.
And return the 4 he had to the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess first I would stop and see about the copies, like if what he said worked.
All right. Yeah, so you do a little test run on the copies.
I was going to say, I might have even told you about Joe Clock's copier specifically, because if I'm going to relay the quality setting instructions, it might just be easiest to be on that specific machine that he knows.
Okay.
So maybe he implies that, not to say that you have to go there.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
So do you go there, though?
Yes.
Okay. So you go to Joe Clock's.
He knows they keep it nice and clean, free from dust.
Yep. So University, go back, go to Joe Clock's. Do you go to the bank first or Joe Clock's?
What time does
first?
The bank close?
Well, you got plenty of time before the bank closes.
Okay, then I'll check that out with the copies first. So that I don't not lug in the books back and forth and back and forth.
Gotcha, gotcha. You stop into Joe Clock's. You hear the little ring of the bell as you open the door. Inside there you see, it's not busy right now. It's pretty dead. And you just see Theodore at the front register sitting in a chair. He's got his legs up on the table. And he's playing with a Rubik's Cube.
Nice.
You see him spinning the sides around.
Very 80s.
He looks really tuned into it. Like, he doesn't look up
when the bell
rings.
Hey, Theo!
He almost drops the cube after hearing your voice. He goes, oh! And he turns and goes, oh, hi, hey, Heather. He bends over, picks it back up again. He goes, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. Just like, you know, trying to help Walter do some stuff as his assistant. I'm really proud that I'm an assistant.
Yeah.
Nice.
He says he's still calling you that, and he laughs a little bit, gives a wink and a nudge.
Yeah. I fluff my hair behind my shoulder. Yup.
Nice.
So he says, yeah, what can I help you out with? Anything for Walter? I know he's in the hospital. How's he doing?
It's... He's doing okay. I mean, his spirits are still good because he's Walter, but...
She lied.
As he's mentally declining rapidly.
But physically, he's still okay.
I mean, yeah. Like, he looks great. I mean...
Except for the missing bit of skin.
He's reading a lot.
Says, well, it almost sounds like a vacation for him.
Yeah, something like that.
Compared to Luke.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm just here to... He has these really intricate list of ways to make copies of this book that he has, but it's, you know, it's just a loaner, so he told me to come here because he knows how to use your copy machine best.
He says, well, if it's for Walter, and he reaches into the register and he cracks open a roll of nickels and hands you a couple of them.
Nice.
He says, I don't know how many you need, but if you need more than this, just come back and I'll give you more.
Good old Theo.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. As she goes in her purse and then like she just goes and jingles around and it's like a lipstick without a cap and like a quarter.
Paperclip in there maybe.
She's like, oh, thanks, and then drops all the shit back in her purse.
Like an unwrapped butterscotch.
Yeah, literally like candy.
Oh, it's all sticky, got hairs on it and shit.
I think that's too good. You should look at the lipstick.
So you go to the copier and no matter what you do with these settings, it just doesn't copy right. The most legible you can get it is it still just looks kind of like Chinese characters.
All right. I'm going to ask Theo for his help, if he could help enhance these. I don't know. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. It's just so tiny. All
right. Let's see. Let's see here. Mechanical. Not his forte, no. He says, you know, Walter's really the one that knows how to work the copier better than anyone.
Guess he's just going to have to read it.
Oh, it's worth a shot.
All right. So from here, you go to the bank.
Yeah. Can I stop at like Rite Aid or like a Woolworth?
Yeah, sure. What are you doing there?
I'm going to grab two disposable cameras and take pictures of them and see if that is any luckier.
Do they have disposable cameras in 85?
It's not a bad idea, though.
If nothing else, Polaroids. But yeah, putting it on film, you'd be able to blow it up. I mean, as long as it was illuminated, there was no reflection or whatever.
If there's not disposables, I'll just buy like a cheap like 110 camera.
Well, wait. Walter took pictures of your father's necklace, so you know that he has a quality camera. He doesn't have it at the hospital with him, but that's a good idea that I didn't think of.
Would it be in his office at the shop?
The disposable camera was first developed by Fujifilm in 1986.
Shit. Oh. Damn you, George. Yeah. That's why you made this 85.
If only disposable cameras were a thing. Somebody needs to get on that.
Okay, I'm going to go to the bank then. I'm going to get that stuff. And then I'm going to go to Walter's house.
Okay.
Grab the camera. And bring it all back to the hospital.
Dang.
Okay. As you are at Walter's house, you start to leave it, and you see a police car pull up in front of Lenny's house.
Does Walter have binoculars? I feel like he's a guy who had binoculars.
Of course he has binoculars.
Yes! Can I
He's an old man. He's got the one that looks like a little wallet almost, and you just kind of flick them open.
Oh, nice. Oh, my God. Cool. Yeah. They were awesome. I'm definitely going to look. They probably already worked perfectly to get to Lenny's house because he was always so annoyed at Lenny.
Yeah, they're like dialed in right to Lenny's house.
That's why I always parked out front of his house so the truck would block his binoculars.
It's all coming together now.
I'm going to spy with one hand and with the other hand I'm going to page Thompson. Just with Walter's number.
Okay. All right. So, Paige Thompson, that's going to be at 11 o'clock, though. So...
Oh. What do you spy? What does she spy?
You see the cops come out of the car, and they start knocking on the door for a bit. And then one cop goes back into the car and grabs a battering ram. They both go to the front door, heave, ho, knock the door down, and start to storm into Lenny's house. And that's where we're going to end the episode.
Ooh,
oh my God.
Shit. Crash, boom, bang.
Somebody needs to warn Lenny.
Like, you even remember him.
Is Lenny's ghost, where did he go back to his home or did he stay at the police station? I wonder. Because he'll be upset.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like people knowing about him.
I use Ghostly Strike against him.
Oh, yeah.
I use my my Chains of the Revenant.
GG, guys. We're going to call it there. Everyone remember that sanity is overrated.
Thanks, everybody.
You're right. Maybe it's just too much stuff going on, and maybe I should just leave this.
Maybe an alternate idea. Maybe you could just get a journal.
Yeah, I have been writing down any memories that I have of the dream when I wake up.
You seem like the kind of girl that would have like a dream journal.
Yeah. I mean, Heather, not me. I don't care.
Wait, what?
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 You mean Heather, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Heather.
We're different. We're very different. We're not the same. We just both happen to be bartenders. We're not the same.
We both have dream journals. No big deal. Not the same.
Whatever. I just want to know why my teeth keep falling out. For Heather.
Hey, this is George. Just a quick reminder to like, follow, and review us if you like what you're hearing. And if you want to support us and make our show better, head on over to our Patreon. You can always email us at contact@thatcthulhujohn.com with any comments. And you can follow us on Instagram @ThatCthulhuJohn.